Revelation, and chapter 5, which in the church Bibles is on page 36, 1, 2, 3, 6. There is Sunday school if you'd like to go. It's up to you. You're very welcome. So Revelation chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the centre of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power for ever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and worshipped. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, please do keep your Bibles open there. Well, I just try to get my sermon up now. Hopefully that one. Yay! Great. Good. Right then. Let's pray and ask for God's help, shall we? Father God, thank you for this word from your scriptures. And we pray, Father, that as we delve further into Revelation this morning, give us ears and hearts which are ready to hear and receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're carrying on in Revelation. And before we get into chapter 5, please just turn with me to chapter 1 and verse 17. Chapter 1 and verse 17. Just turn a few pages back. This is John speaking, John the Apostle. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet, though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades.'" Yes, Revelation, it's full of picture language, and particularly language from the Old Testament, which we don't always find easy. At times it seems complicated, at times it can be complicated. But at the same time, I'd like to say it's also straightforward as well. Verse 17 today. "Do not be afraid." Why? Because Jesus, who was once dead, is now alive. Jesus wins. Do not be afraid because Jesus wins. But then we've gone into chapters 2 and 3, and we've seen Christians struggling, haven't we, from lots of different angles. Challenge that we face as well, suffering because they're Christians. Love of Jesus perhaps feeling colder than they want it to be. The temptation to tolerate evil and so much more. And so forth. Therefore, last week we came into chapter 4. And Jesus took the Apostle John, after all his struggling, after all these problems, he took them into the throne room of God, the throne room of heaven, and told him and us, just look at God, see God, be blown away by his magnificence and glory. But don't just stop there. Worship him as well. And those are good things to do when you're struggling as a Christian. I'm sorry, actually, that's a serious understatement, isn't it? See God, worshipping God, when you're a struggling Christian, is a great thing to do. But then we come to our chapter today, and the Apostle John is distraught, because he also wanted to hear from God. And our first point today, our desperate need to hear from God. And please look with me at chapter 5 and verse 1. And I saw right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll. So here's God the Father. He's got this scroll in his right hand and it's tightly sealed. It's sealed completely. That's what the number seven there is talking about. But what is this scroll about? Well, we don't just guess, do we? We go, where does God talk about scrolls elsewhere in the Bible? And he does in a number of places, none of which exactly match this description. So I'm not sure we're supposed to go, it's definitely this one. But we could go to Daniel chapter 12, or we could go to Isaiah. But we're going to go to Ezekiel 2, which we read earlier. And I'm just going to read a couple of the verses that we read earlier. Then I looked, and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. A scroll that in Ezekiel chapter 3 we got told that Ezekiel had to eat, because it was Ezekiel's job to then speak out God's words, particularly the words of lament and mourning and woe. So as we come back to Revelation 5 and we've got this scroll, it seems like this scroll is, we're expected to contain God's words for his people. And what does John do when initially they can't find someone to open this scroll? What does he do? Chapter 5 and verse 3. But no one in heaven on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside. And I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. The Apostle John burst into tears. Remember, this is the Apostle John who hung out with Jesus for 3 years of his life, who witnessed the miracles and his amazing love and compassion, and heard divine words from Jesus every single day. He heard lots of words from God. And yet, here he is, witnessing the throne room in heaven, seeing the glory of God all around him, and he wants to hear God even more. So much so, when he thinks it might not be possible to hear what God has to say in the scroll, he weeps. He turns into a blubbering mess. Now, you and I, we're visual people, but we're also hearing people as well. Now, that's obvious, isn't it? But we live in a culture today where so much emphasis is put on the seeing. See for yourself. Watch the videos. It's why so many people are glued to their phones, isn't it? Watching endless videos, seeing. I bet you've heard at some point from somebody, I would believe in God if I could just see him. Well, John is absolutely gutted. And he's there seeing God, but he's gutted because he can't hear from God, from a book, while in the throne room of heaven with God himself. You, all of us, please, God, give us that same desperate need to hear from you as well. But God isn't going to remain silent in our second point today, the conquering lion lamb. And please look with me at verse 5. Then the one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals."
There is one who is qualified to break those scrolls on the those seals on the scroll and to make its contents known, to make God's words known to John, to you and I. And again, we've got more Old Testament references here. We've got a lion and a root that's taken from Genesis and Isaiah, all which are pointing forward to the prophecy of God's king who will come and conquer and judge God's enemies. A lion which has been used throughout history as a picture of strength and power. And it's not surprising, is it? Have you ever been close up to a lion? I was once just a couple of metres from a lion. And its whole body was just rippling with muscles. And the eyes and the teeth and the grace of it. It just screamed strength. But then you know what it did? It roared and it nearly made me jump out of my skin. Because it was... You didn't believe a sound like that would come out of an animal like that. It was just astonishing. I'm glad the children weren't there. In fact, this happened even before I had children, so it was a long time ago. Well, the one who can open the scroll is just radiating power and strength. But he's also verse 6 as well. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and elders. The lamb had 7 horns and 7 heads, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out to all the earth. The angel calls this person a lion, but he also calls him a lamb as well. And not sort of a happy, bouncy, let's skip round a field type of lamb, one that's cute, but it's a slain lamb. Vulnerable. A sacrificial lamb. We've got strength and majesty working, but we've also got weakness and death at the same time. Now, which are your friends and family more impressed by? Strength and majesty, weakness and death. So often it's strength, isn't it? And power. Power by what your money can buy, or the influence you have, or who you know, or where you live. Or wherever it happens to be. Weakness and vulnerability and sacrifice is so often not valued. Seen as incompatible with power and strength. And yet, in the Lion Lamb, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have both. Strength and sacrifice. Jesus was so strong that he was ready to be sacrificed, so he could truly conquer. Verse 9. What's the new song that they sing? Verse 9. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood, it's for God, persons from every tribe, and people and nation, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Jesus is worthy to open the scroll because he is this lion lamb. No one else is as utterly qualified to bring God's word to us as this lion lamb. See, people in the Old Testament, they brought God's words to the people, didn't they? But the people knew those prophets were sinners. And the people knew it, but not this lion lamb. Jesus never gets in the way of God's words being known to us. I'm here this morning helping us to think about Revelation 5. And we're hearing God's word, but it's quite possible I might be getting in the way. But not so with Jesus. He is totally worthy. Now, I normally have to ask children's permission before using them as part of a sermon illustration. But I'm hoping it doesn't count, this one, because it's about Jacob, and he's not here, and I only thought of it at 10 o'clock last night. So, no, I'm sure he'll be fine. It's not an embarrassing one. But when Jacob got his formal letter to go to university at Loughborough earlier this year, it came in a rather posh envelope. And inside was a golden ticket. It wasn't actual gold, but it was done very nicely, saying, look, you've got your place at university and you're coming in September. And it was a special moment. And the way they communicated that special moment was in a special way. While God the Father wasn't just putting in the effort to communicate to us in Jesus, it's not as if it was just wrapped up in a nice envelope. Jesus had to be worthy. He had to be the lamb, the slain lamb, and the lion, to take God's scroll and bring his God's words to us. And in fact, the emphasis of the slain lamb is where the emphasis is. Verse 9 again. Your word is to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain with the blood, and with your blood you purchased by God persons from every tribe and clan and nation. Jesus' death is what made him worthy. Jesus, glorious Son of God himself, before the cross. But it's the cross of Jesus that magnified that worth, demonstrated his worth all the more clearly. And it's even more than that, isn't it? Because Jesus' death also purchased for God. He paid the price, ransomed us so we could be set free. That ransom picture, it's a picture of a slave back in the olden days. And the only way you could set a slave free was to purchase them, was to redeem them, to ransom them, so you could set them free, to pay the price. Well, Jesus has paid the price for us. He took God's judgment upon his own body, the judgment that we deserve on his own body, so we can be ransomed. So verse 10, so we can truly and fully belong to God. Here we've got, remember here, we've got the throne room of heaven. And what's the deal? The sacrificial lamb. Yeah, this sacrificial lamb, it's got the horns and the eyes, and we've got the Old Testament images of power and all-knowing sight. But, and we're so easy, we're tempted to focus on that, but where's the throne room focus? It's verse 9. Because you were slain. It's verse 12. Worthy is the lamb who was slain. The focus is the cross, even in the glory of heaven. Now, brothers and sisters, there is so much to know and love in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the thing that is being focused on in the glories of heaven is Jesus crucified. That's where the party's at. So when we're suffering following Jesus, yes, we can see God. We can look to the glories of heaven. We can worship him. But let's, as the passage does, focus us in on that sacrificial lamb. It doesn't look impressive on so many levels, but it is the most impressive thing in the whole universe. And what should our response be? Well, you've probably guessed it. It's there in verse 9. 12 and 13, worship the Lamb who was slain. Verse 9, he has the four living creatures and the 24 elders worshipping the Lamb who was slain. But then the camera pans out and we read verse 11. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. It's as if John is being taken up by Jesus into the throne room of heaven. And his eyes have just been on the throne and what's been surrounding it, because it's just been so memorizing. But then he sort of looks around and, whoa, who are all these other people? These tens and tens of thousands of angels encircling the whole scene, with the crucified Jesus at the very center of that worship and praise. And they're doing it because it's right, it's the right thing to do. But worshiping our crucified Savior is also what keeps us on the path of humility and suffering. Because as we follow Jesus, and we do, we will suffer. It never looks attractive, does it? Never. There will always be a temptation to swerve away. So we have to keep on our eyes fixed. Yes, on God, but on the slain Lamb of God. The one who forges ahead to the glorious victory, and it is a glorious victory. Please look with me in verse 13. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all in them, saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. There will be a day when the most ardent of atheists, the most religious Muslim, the most I can't be bothered with Jesus type of person will say, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. They'll say it, whether they like it or not, because it would just be impossible for them not to acknowledge. And you notice who they're worshipping. To him who sits on the throne, that's God the Father. But then it also says, and to the Lamb, God the Son. God the Father, God the Son, being worshipped in this way. And earlier on we had the seven eyes, and which refers to the Spirit and to the Holy Spirit. So actually the whole of the Trinity is there. The Trinitarian God is acknowledged by everyone. And then we finish with verse 14. The four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. It's as if those closest to God just ran out of words. We can't say anything else. Amen. Bosh. Fall on the face. Now, I don't think we need to physically fall down on our faces to worship God this morning. But are we ready mentally and spiritually to lie prostrate before him who sits on the throne and the Lamb? Yes, being a Christian, it's a great privilege to know God is our Saviour and God is our friend, but he's also our God. Fall down before him. We're going to spend a long time in eternity in that position, joyfully falling down before him. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you once again for this picture of the throne of heaven. We thank you for its glory and majesty. And we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is at the very centre of that picture. We pray, Lord, as we long to live and worship day by day, the Lord slain Lord Jesus Christ at the very centre of who we are living for. And give us ears which are always ready to hear from him, to receive from him. Help us to long to hear from the scroll, from you, each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.